Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, the risen Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the risen Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. And I've got about a week, and then I'm going to be going to Louisville, Kentucky for a mission there. But, you know, it's interesting, in our retreat center, we have a wonderful place. It's called Holy Name Retreat Center. Beautiful trees, 10 acres, people come on retreat, you know. We have alcoholics retreats, and we have Catholic retreats, and married couples, all these retreats. Wonderful place. The only problem is we have a squirrel problem. Because of all these trees. And I mean, they run up and down the trees, and they dart inside and run around people's stations of the cross. People are I heard about these three churches who had a squirrel problem. They were trying to figure out how to get rid of it, so they called an ecumenical meeting. It was the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, and the Catholics. And they all sat around this round table, how are we going to get rid of these squirrels? So Lutherans said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're really into ecology and treating animals right. We're just going to trap them, bring them out about a mile or two, let them go. We don't want to hurt them." So they did that. And don't you know, a week later, all the squirrels were back. So that wasn't much of a solution. Presbyterians, they have a doctrine of predestination. So when they sat around the table, they said, "Well, you know, maybe God has predestined these squirrels to be here. We better just leave them alone. We don't want to go against the will of God." So Catholics actually had the best solution. They decided to baptize and confirm the squirrels. And now they only see them on Christmas and Easter. You know what it's like on Christmas and Easter? They come out of the woodwork. And I wanted to tell you that story because, you know, that's exactly what happened to me. I was a Christmas and Easter Catholic growing up. And let me tell you why. Remember what confirmation is? It's supposed to be, I don't know what grade you were confirmed. I was confirmed in the 8th grade. It's supposed to be this great sacrament of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They showed us these pictures of the apostles. You know, back in the 8th grade, we didn't really have all the movies and things. We had just pictures of the apostles with tongues of fire over their head. Now I'm thinking to myself, you know, what's this going to be? Maybe I ought to wear an asbestos suit or something going into this, because they're telling me that I'm going to be on fire or something. And, you know, they really prep you well. They get you into that confirmation. You expecting all these great things. So here it is. Now, the bishop of Springfield, Massachusetts came. He's the big, you know, for the big city around Little Feeding Hills, where I grew up. And so they had an altar rail there at Sacred Heart Church, where I grew up. And there's probably 30 of us, 8th graders, we're all kneeling before the bishop. And he's all dressed up. He's got the big hat on, you know, the mitre, and he's all dressed in red for Pentecost. And he comes over to us and starts confirming. And, you know, my little heart's beating like a rabbit, and I'm all, you know, expecting and everything. And, you know, back then, you know how they confirmed? They would slap you in the face. I guess then you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, you're a mature person, so they give you a little slap. So here it comes, my turn. He comes up to me, slaps me in the face, goes to the next person, not like, where's the fire? No, I felt the slap, but that was it. You know, did it miss me? Did it go to you? Or, you know, where is it? And I didn't feel anything. Well, you know, I'm half Italian, and Italians love to feel. I guess all people love to feel. And, you know, when it comes to your religion, you want to feel. You want to sense. You want to have some sensation. And I didn't feel anything. So here's what I thought. I'm in 8th grade. You know, this is probably how a lot of your children are thinking. Well, since I didn't feel anything, number one, either there's something wrong with me, or number two, maybe there is no God. That's the way we think. Because, you know, I mean, we're just born into this, brought up in this. So that's why I fell away. Because I was the third of three children. I had two older sisters and my parents, and they said, well, you know, you don't have to go if you don't want to. Confirmation is supposed to be your decision. And so I said, great. You know, for the rest, really, all my high school years, I didn't go to church except for Christmas and Easter when all the relatives were in town. And I used to stand on the back wall, you know, because we'd come on time, but that would be late because on Christmas and Easter, you got to, you know, because you have Mass over in the gymnasium for all the overflow. So then I went through high school, didn't really go to church all that much, and really, I pray every once in a while, but not a whole lot. And then I get into college, and I went to the University of Massachusetts. I'm going to study business, and I have all these goals and dreams before me. Actually, the only goal I had, to be honest with you, was to make money, because I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I had no real vision. And really, I didn't really have a dream either. We just heard that, how the Spirit would give us dreams and visions and purpose and meaning. And I didn't really have that. I didn't know. All I knew was that, you know, I wanted to make money, so I got into business. Well, when I got into college, I started meeting a lot of different people and dating people, and wow, did my world turn upside down in terms of what do I really believe? You know, am I Catholic? And what do I believe? You know, it was very challenging. And then I remember a breakup I had with a girl. Came very lonely, very hurt, and it was pretty hard. And all of a sudden, I started getting very hungry. I go like this, but I should go like this, because the hunger wasn't so much in my stomach. The hunger was in my heart. Bruce Springsteen used to sing a song years ago. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. And you know, that's so true. Deep within, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We have desires. We crave things. And I began to crave truth. I said, no, what is life? What is it really? Is the Catholicism I grew up with true? What am I all about as a person? I started to really be curious and started to ask a lot of questions. By the way, if you read the Book of Wisdom says that the beginning of wisdom is the desire to learn. The beginning of wisdom is the desire to learn. So I just happened upon it. I just started asking questions. I had that desire, that thirst, that hunger to learn. But to make a long story short, a couple months later, after I started praying, after I started reading the scriptures, because I really want to know, not just what I'm learning in college, but what is the meaning of life? And to make a long story short, I was touched. About 3 months later, I read one verse in the Bible that said, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I'm reading things like this, and I'm still like, yeah, come Holy Spirit, I want this. But one night, I got that. And The reason why I said just beneath you have a treasure is because I didn't experience the fire coming down. I experienced the fire welling up from within. See, within us is a treasure. And I like to put it this way. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, touched with the Holy Spirit. There's many words for it. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, a release of the Holy Spirit. But I like to use the word awakening. I had an awakening to what was already present within me. And I want to assure you, as you come here tonight, I get in trouble with a lot of people on TV, especially evangelicals and Protestants, because I'm on Trinity Broadcasting Network, because I teach that you already have the Holy Spirit, you just got to come into communion with the Spirit. And they're all saying, well, it says in the Bible that you got to come to believe in the Lord Jesus, and then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe it says that, but my experience is that I had the Spirit, I just didn't know it. And it's the same in your life, too. The Spirit is present there. Remember what I said, just beneath the surface. But you need to come to know, come into communion. That's why at the beginning of the Mass, may the communion, the oneness, the unity of the Holy Spirit be yours. And wow, did this revolutionize my life. I was telling folks the other morning, I was never even an altar boy. I mean, I fell away, never an altar boy. I mean, I'm kind of like Paul the Apostle. I persecuted the church. You know, I murdered Stephen the deacon. But you never know who God's going to call. And the Holy Spirit, I like to say, I wrote a booklet, it's on my website, be revolutionized by the Holy Spirit. See, he turns us upside down and right side up, and things started to happen. And what I have to tell you, first of all, the Holy Spirit comes to give us a personal relationship with God. Please don't get this wrong. Don't just reduce the Holy Spirit to a force or a power or energy or I feel good. Well, it's all that. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is God and powerful and forceful. But what you have to understand, and what I came to understand is, I never really had a prayer life before. I mean, I would pray prayers hoping that something out there would hear me. I'm talking real, tangible, experiential, revolutionary. I was never the type that liked to get real quiet because I get very distracted. Now, as I was telling the folks this morning, I crave quiet. It's in the quiet that I feel the embrace and the love. And there's manifestations of grace and the power of God living in all of us. I had an awakening to this when I was 18, 19 years old, and it doesn't go away. I mean, my whole prayer life has been revolutionized. We don't even know how to pray as we should, the Bible says, but the Spirit prays in us and through us. But not just praying prayers. Praying means communing, the communion of the Holy Spirit with you. Getting to know in a real, tangible way God living in you. Wow, did this change me. Revolutionized my life. Became totally different, my prayer life. So, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, you have to understand, number one, that the Holy Spirit comes to give us a personal relationship with God. Not just the priests know God or the Pope knows God. Everybody, did you hear the first reading? Upon all flesh I will pour out my Spirit, says the Lord. Your men servants, your maid servants will prophesy, dream dreams, see vision. Old people will dream dreams. Young people will see visions. That's because Jesus died on the cross and it opened up a whole new world. A whole new world. A whole new supernatural world. Then, I started changing. For good. Selfish me. Money making me. Just want everything for myself, me. And I started to go from selfishness to selflessness. I began to change. You know, I'm not there yet, but I'm on the way. That's what we're celebrating tonight, St. Teresa of Avila, who became a saint because of the Holy Spirit. If you read that word among us that I gave you tonight, or that you've had all week, if you read the beginning, right before the readings, St. Teresa says, the Spirit lives in you. God lives in you. And how correct she is. Well, I began to change. For example, I realized that, you know what? Now there's a new power in me that I never knew before. Paul the Apostle calls it the energizer. So, I mean, more than putting a battery in you and energize a battery, there's this force, this power, this endowment, this anointing to change. And thus the term Holy Spirit. See, holiness is separated from evil. It's virtuous, courageous, loving. None of the things that I was. And so when the Holy Spirit came in, I began to change. Because we become one. The Spirit becomes one with us. And the Spirit's job, the Spirit's ministry, if you will, is to change us. So I remember I used to be really fearful. I began to become courageous. I used to not have a whole lot of ambition. Remember I told you I didn't really have any goals? All of a sudden I had passion. I used to be really negative. You know, everything I can't do it and all that. I began to be positive. I wasn't a spiritual person at all. Didn't pray all that much and everything. Didn't know who God was. I became a mystic. And you're mystics too. Because God lives in you. That's what St. Teresa of Avila teaches us. Let me tell you about the word baptism. You know what it is? Baptizo in the Greek. You've seen people baptized. You know, you take a baby, you dunk them in the water, and they come up sopping wet. That's how we try to do it now. But the full sense of the word, immersion, baptism, splash, and pull up, and, you know, soaking wet, death, and resurrection. So the baptizo has another meaning. And here's the meaning of the word. In the Greek, it comes from a word where you have a garment, let's call it a yellow garment, and you take that garment and you dip it in dye, let's call it a purple dye, and that garment comes out and the garment has changed color from yellow to purple. And that's exactly what happened to me. I was yellow, fearful, and I changed into something courageous. And so have you ever heard that term, a dyed-in-the-wool Christian? I think you have. That's where it comes from. You see, because that's why the Holy Spirit comes, to make you a dyed-in-the-wool Christian, to change your color, more than your color, not the color of your skin, to change your character from being fearful to courageous, from being negative to positive, to not being spiritual to being spiritual, to having no ambition to living with passion. So what I want to tell you, people of God, is that there is power for you to become. And as you've heard me say before, who you are is God's gift to you. But who you become is your gift to God. And life is all about becoming. And that's why the Spirit comes, to change us. And we're all on this journey of holiness. We're all going from selfishness to selflessness. And we're journeying in all the other virtues besides. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So there's power to change. Last night I talked to you about freedom and change and becoming. You can't do it on your own. Determination and audacity itself isn't going to do it. You need power. And you've got power within you. You need power to raise your children. You need power to do your job. You need power to perform your ministry. You need power to be creative and innovative. You see, we have the Spirit of the living God lives within us, and this is what I discovered. And I said, you know what? I am not going to limit what God can do in me by my own fears and my own selfishness and my own pettiness. I'm going to allow God to help me to achieve my potential. And that potential isn't just in professionalism, it's in your character. And so I'm on this journey of generosity, forgiveness, mercy, honesty, sincerity, creativity, trying to do the best I can because we're all going to stand before God and I want to become. Remember, your gift to God is who you become. And the Holy Spirit's there to help you. So the Spirit comes, first of all, to give you a personal relationship with God, and this is what I'm praying for you. More than anything else that I say tonight, I pray that you will have tangible, real experiences with God that will revolutionize your life. And it can happen. Now, the spiritual life isn't all just about feelings, of course. I'm a spiritual director, and you have to go beyond feelings. I would say feelings are fickle. Faith is forever. But we can expect manifestations of God because the Holy Spirit lives within. And a prayer life that is unparalleled, that you've never had before because of the Spirit. Second of all, the Spirit comes to empower us to change. To change. We all want to change, and that's why I began the retreat by saying, change is possible. Beings can change, people can change. And not just by determination alone, by the power of God. And then, oh, here's the third reason why the Spirit comes. You've probably heard words for the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard this word in the Greek, paraclete. We don't have any other way to translate that word, and so we call it paraclete. And what it means is a defense attorney that stands by you when you're on trial. Somebody that stands by your side when you're going through trials in life. Somebody who helps you. You've heard that, the helper, the comforter, the consoler. The consoler is another word for the attorney. So I found out that, you know what, I'm not going through life alone anymore. You know, when I got into college and everything and I was making my journey, I thought it was just me. But what I found out is that, you know what, God has anointed us with His presence to face life, not on our own, but with His help. He's the helper, the consoler, the comforter, the strengthener. Let me talk about that. I just want to tell you, you're never alone. I heard a story about this young man. He's 22 years old. His name is Tommy Dorsey, not the jazz musician, another Tommy Dorsey. Back in the 1900s in Chicago, listen to what happened to him. He was a musician. He was a minister, not a Catholic, but he was a Protestant minister. 22 years old, his wife's having a baby, and he had to perform a service. While he's performing the service, he gets a telegram. And his wife died in childbirth. The next day, his baby dies. He was, rightly so, he was devastated. So what he did is, he was so upset at God, and you know, here he was, a minister, a musician. He decided he's never going to write another song. He was writing songs, and he decided that he's going to leave the ministry. A week later, he's sitting at the piano after he loses his wife and his little girl. And he composes a song. All of a sudden, a peace came over him, and he, you know, the peace of the Holy Spirit. And he composes a song, and he writes a song, and it became the favorite song of Dr. Martin Luther King. Elvis Presley used to sing it. And it was a song that so touched Tommy Dorsey that he continued to be a minister and he continued to write songs, and it changed his life. And here's what the song was. It's called Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And it goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, but it goes, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired, weak, and worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. See, that's what I'm talking about. No matter what your trial, or tragedy, or hardship, God is there to hold your hand and to take you through. I have to let you know that 7 weeks ago today, I had the funeral mass for my mother. My mother died 7 weeks ago. And how was I able to do that? You know, I love my mother like life itself. She and I had a bond, you know, a bond between a mother and a son. I always dreaded the day that she was going to die. I was at her bedside in the hospital when she did, but I had that funeral 7 weeks ago today. How did I do that? Because God was holding my hand. Now, for the last 7 weeks, I've been grieving. Grieving is not an easy thing, and nobody tells you how to grieve. You can't, you know, you read books on it and everything, but there's no one way to grieve, those of you who have lost somebody. And I'm doing really good, and I'm very strong, and I know why. Because the Holy Spirit is helping me. And I'm not alone. And what I'm simply trying to say is that whether it's grief or loneliness or depression or relationship problems or physical sufferings or trials and tribulations of every sort, remember what I've been teaching you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. And that Him who loves us is the Holy Spirit. So why try to muddle through life on your own? Why not Give yourself to the one who loves you so much and wants to help you. There is supernatural power for you and me to live our lives victoriously. When I talk about supernatural power, don't think about Superman. Remember Superman, supernatural, the power to leap tall buildings at a single bound, run faster than a speeding bullet, stop a train. Not that kind of power. Power to be courageous. Power to be creative. Power to be loving. Power to face your trials and not run. Power to live with passion. Power to be the person that God is calling you to be. And power to turn away from sin and to go forward in your life. See, that's when Jesus said, "Behold, I give you power." That's the power he's talking about. So that you could be more than a conqueror, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and that you can know God's love in a personal way. Oh, this is so good. And I didn't know this growing up. All I got was a slap in the face. And you have to understand that within you lies everything that you need, even to face your death. I love what Paul the Apostle said in that reading in Romans 8. He talks about, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Trial or distress or nakedness or the sword? He said, I'm convinced that not even death, those of you who are afraid of death, not even death will separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. And that love of God is exactly the Holy Spirit. Because we hear in Romans that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, that's why Paul the Apostle says, don't you know that you're the temple of the Most High? Now, why did he say that to the Corinthian community? Don't you know that you're the temple of the Most High, that God lives within you? Why did he say that? Because maybe they weren't singing. Maybe they didn't look too joyful. Maybe they were letting their trials bring them down when Paul the Apostle realized that he had such power. Remember Paul the Apostle? He's in prison with Silas in the middle of the night. What's he doing? Saying, God, why'd you put me here? No, he's singing. And the jail breaks open. The jailer was converted. You want to be a witness to people? Smile at them. Sing. Show them your joy. That's the power. That's the grace. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go all night, but let me just share a couple more things. The love of God. I'd love to tell this story about the love of God. Here's this grandmother. Christmas is coming up. And so what she does is, she bought a lot of gifts for her granddaughter, grandson, who were, in her family, and she loved them. They were teenagers. And she said, I've got to get one more gift. She went to a mall and went into a poster store and flipped through. There's a poster of a young guy on a surfboard, and it says, Cowabunga. This is going to be perfect for my grandson. He loves to surf. So she writes down the number. Flips a couple more. She finds a nature scene. Beautiful flowers. Nice pond. A couple clouds. Birds. Perfect for my granddaughter. She loves nature. Writes down the numbers. Gives it to the clerk. Clerk gives her two rolled-up posters. She wraps them up. Puts them under the tree. Christmas Day comes. All the gifts are open. There's about 20 relatives there. Last two gifts to be opened. The posters. So here comes the grandson, he goes underneath, everybody's watching, he gets the poster and he unfurls it, unwraps it. Cowabunga. Grandma, thanks, I love it, I can't wait to go surfing. Thank you for that beautiful gift, I'm going to put it on the wall in my bedroom. And now the last gift to be opened is for the granddaughter. She goes underneath there, gets that poster, and she gets it, unwraps it, unfurls it, and her mouth drops wide open. She turns around, what do you think everybody saw? It wasn't a nature scene. It was a big, fat, pink hippopotamus. And underneath were the words, but I love you just the way you are. And grandma goes, they made a mistake. She said, I'm going to take it back. And she goes, no, grandma, that's okay. I'll put it on the wall of my bedroom. Thank you. It's okay. A month later, Grammy gets a letter. And says, Grammy, I've got to tell you, over the holidays, I gained weight. And nobody asked me to dance. And I come home, I flop on the bed, and I feel so sorry for myself. And I look up at that big, fat, pink hippopotamus. And I see those words, but I love you just the way you are. And Grammy, God hugs me. So I want you to know, none of us are perfect. But we're loved. That's what I experienced more than anything else when the Holy Spirit touched me. Not so much fire, as love. My life's changed. I'm not the selfish SOB I used to be. Some people think I am, but I'm not. I just want to love now. I just want to help people. I want to reach out the best I can. So let me bring this to a conclusion. What have I said? Number one, the Holy Spirit has come so that you can have a personal relationship with God. You, not just St. Teresa of Avila, not the Pope Francis, you know, not Father Cedric, you. All flesh, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, black and white, everything in between, you. Personal relationship with God. And don't think, well, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. Your job is to get to know the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you and also with your spirit. Number two, you have been empowered, anointed, if you will, by the Holy Spirit, what? To change. So you don't have to be selfish all your life, but courageous, passionate, spiritual, positive, virtuous, the Holy Spirit. And then the Spirit comes to hold our hand. The helper, the comforter, the consoler, the strengthener, so that we can face grieving, loneliness, and sadness, physical problems, relationship problems, everything and everything, including our own death. So that we can face these things and be more than a conqueror through Him who loves us. Wow, that's good. So, just a couple of images of the Holy Spirit as I conclude. Wind. A dove. Innocent. Fire. Powerful. And we have living water. Light. And I want to give you the last image that was in the Bible tonight. The risen Jesus, in the Gospel of John, doesn't give the Holy Spirit 50 days later on Pentecost, like in Luke. The risen Jesus gives the Holy Spirit on the day of resurrection. So there they are in the upper room, and Jesus appears to them, and He breathes on them. Remember what God did in the book of Genesis when He's playing in the mud? He breathes, and Adam and Eve were created out of the mud. And so I'm praying that the breath of God will breathe on you. I heard a song that I love. And it goes, oh, breathe on me, oh, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love the things you love. And do what you would do. Spirit of God, breathe on your people. Revive your people. Raise them up. Fill them with passion. Hold their hand. Revolutionize their lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just be quiet for a moment. Close your eyes. May the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.